And good morning to everyone. I should note, first of all, that Justice Wright and Justice Couch will not be participating on any of today's cases. And Judge Pirtle and Judge Bishop from the Court of Appeals will be joining us on the last three cases of the day. And with that in mind, our first case of the day is In Re Interest of Kiana R. Mr. Sieben, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice. Good morning, Justice.
You may proceed.
May it please the Court. My name is James Sieben. I'm a Deputy Public Defender here in Lancaster County, and I appear on behalf of the appellant, Kiana R. Your Honors, this case involves two main points of law. The first is to determine what Nebraska Revised Statute Section 43251.017 actually means, and secondly, whether or not, based on that definition, the law was properly applied in this present case. It is our position that the juvenile court did not properly interpret the language of 43251.017 and thereby improperly removed Kiana from her family home.
Was she in the family home?
At the time of the disposition hearing, she was not here.
Does that matter?
Your Honor, it doesn't matter, or it's not dispositive, because at the time she was removed from the family home and placed into the Boys Town PRTF facility, that occurred in February, the placement. The hearing occurred in January. And then 4 months later in June, we have a new set of facts. We have a successful completion of this acute short-term hospitalization program. And at that time, the time of the disposition hearing in June, the fact that she was out of home is not dispositive, because what the statute needs to be analyzed at that time to determine whether it continued out of home place. Section 43251.017 plainly and clearly contains a two-part test that must be met before removal is proper. The first prong of 251.017A requires that all community-based resources be exhausted prior to removal from the home. In reviewing the evidence in this case, there were no community-based resources that were even attempted, despite the fact that there were services noted in the disposition hearing that were available in the community and that were going to be used by the group home facility. At no point in time prior to her probation order being entered, prior to Kiana's probation order being entered, was a community-based resource used, was it sought, was it referred, and that is clearly in contravention with the plain language of subsection 7A of 251.01.
For example, what are some of the community-based resources to which you make reference?
Your Honor, at the disposition hearing, the probation officer testified that individual therapy, family therapy, and increased supervision would be part of the Boys Town Group Home Program. Those services are available in the community. Specifically, individual therapeutic services are available in the community. Family therapy services are available in the community. The probation officer testified that those services were available in the community.
Probation officer recommend them?
Probation officer did not recommend them, no. Probation officer recommended the group home placement.
Did anyone recommend them?
Your Honor, no. There is not a recommendation for community-based services, but the recommendation for the group home and the plan that the group home was putting in place contains services that are available in the community, and 251.017A requires the juvenile, Kiana, to have an opportunity in the community with those services before continuing her out-of-home placement.
How do you understand that subsection A about exhausting resources in the sense of, does it mean that the juvenile must experience all these community resources before out of home, or that the court and the juvenile must explore the feasible ones, the sensible ones?
Your Honor, I would probably say it would be the latter. If I'm not asking that the that this court or that the juvenile court forced Kiana to do services that would have no benefit, but specific services were identified. Those specific services are available in the community, and I'm asking that those services be implemented. So relevant, reasonable services that we know would be of assistance to Kiana are the services in the community that I would be requesting.
And did the juvenile court explain why those were not imposed, the community services were not imposed in this case?
Your Honor, based on my recollection and my review of the transcript and bill of exceptions, it appeared that the court thought that the Boys Town group home placement was the better placement. It was in Kiana's best interests, and therefore the court made the decision it did. I would argue that before we get to that analysis as to which placement is better, the statutory requirements in 251.01 need to be met first, and at the time of disposition, they had not been met.
Did the probation officer testify why the officer was not recommending the community-based services as opposed to the home-based service?
Your Honor, the probation officer testified that they did not pursue community-based services because the recommendations from the PRTF facility were for a group, or were to go to the group home placement. That was her explanation for why community-based services were not explored.
And so did the evaluation that was done by the group home consider community-based services?
Your Honor, I am not sure if it did or if it did not. What I would say is that the services that were recommended in the group home, the individual therapy, the family therapy, and the increased supervision, those are services that are available in the community, and I believe the PRTF facility just recommended that they be done in a group home setting rather than in the juvenile's home. So does that adequately answer your question?
Well, I guess what I'm trying to get at is, did the testimony supporting what the juvenile court did explain why the treatment techniques would be more effective when grouped together in a single facility than being provided by individual providers in a home-based setting? Is that addressed in the evidence?
Your Honor, I believe it was moderately addressed in the evidence in the sense that the probation officer testified as to why the group home was believed to be the better placement. The argument that I'm putting forth is that under 251.01 section 7A or subsection 7A, if those services can be done in the community, the law requires that they be done in the community, and the law requires that they be exhausted in the community prior to continuing a long out-of-home placement.
But if the juvenile, there was testimony, if it's correct, is that the group home was in effect a step-down facility to help the juvenile transfer in back into the community.
That
it was some testimony that would be a more successful path, and then the group home wasn't really equal to the community because she needed to transition.
Your Honor, that may have been what was testified to. I don't agree with that reasoning. Being in the family home is a right that Kiana has. Being there is something that a group home cannot replicate. And, you know, she was removed from the home on her adjudication date in late December of 2017, and she has remained out of the home since that time. And the reason why the statute was put in place, the 251.017 statute, was because the legislator believed it was more effective for these services to be provided in the home. So while the Boys Town PRTF facility may have had a differing opinion from the legislature, the law in this case needed to be followed, and those community services should have been in place in the home.
Thank you.
I would request to reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you very much. Ms. Parpart, good morning to you.
May it please the court, my name is Tara Parpart, Deputy County Attorney here in Lancaster County, Nebraska. I am representing Appley in this case in the state of Nebraska. Your Honors, I think that we need to look at this case differently than maybe what the statute intended, because it is a unique case. I believe the statute was made for children who start out in the home. We try community-based services. Those don't work. Child may be at risk to remain in the home and then place out of home. This is a very unique case in that appellant had an evaluation and had a recommendation from a therapist she had been working with for over a year that recommended she automatically or immediately go to a residential treatment facility that had 24-hour awake supervision. And that is why appellant was initially removed from the home and placed at the Boys Town Psychiatric Residential Treatment Facility. So when disposition came and appellant was placed on probation at the Boys Town Group Home, it was an appropriate step-down placement to make her transition home more seamless. I think the main thing to look at here is that Boys Town PRTF had been working with appellant for a number of months and made a professional recommendation that she step down to a new level of care, which is less than the PRTF, but can provide more structure than going straight home.
So would you say that recommendation was in the best interest of the child?
I do believe it was in the best interest of the child, as if the recommendation from her treating professionals is to go to a group home, but instead we send her straight home, that's not the recommendation, and there might not be enough structure in the home that the juvenile would maybe have to be placed out of home again.
So what is the interplay between the concept of best interest of the child with the legislative seeming priority to provide in-home services before out-of-home services are applied?
Well, the purpose of juvenile court is to look out for the best interest of children. Now, in this case, while the court did mention best interest, stepping down to the group home first, there's no indication that that was given more weight than the statutory requirements, the two statutory requirements. Does that answer your question at all?
Some.
Okay. Well, the best interest should always be looked at. Just because the court mentioned best interest does not mean that the statutory requirements were not met and the court was basing its decision solely based on best interest of the child. I understand that the legislature implemented this as best interest, but in a reverse way, that we are trying to keep children in the home. That is the hope. And that we try all community-based services.
The statute seems to imply that in-home services are always in the best interest of the child and somehow superior to out-of-home placement. So if there is a situation where the best interests appear to be out-of-home placement, what concept gets the higher billing? Which one is superior?
I believe the best way to handle this is to look at the statute on its face, but compare it to a similar statute, which is the statute to place a juvenile at the Youth Rehabilitation Treatment Center, which is almost identical. So on its face, the statute to place a child at the Youth Rehabilitation and Treatment Center says community-based services must be exhausted. It says options, I believe, instead of those available. So almost identical. And this court has, in fact, indicated that in a statute for Youth Rehabilitation and Treatment Center, services have to be feasible and there has to be a reasonable possibility for success with those service, community-based services.
So do you, then you would import the analysis from our Nadal opinion into reading of this statute, is
exactly.
That correct?
Exactly. Because on both statutes' face, they appear to say the same, exhaust community-based services. But I don't believe that means that we have to exhaust ones that aren't even feasible. For instance, this is a case of severe mental health. One option for a community services is drug testing. Now, we don't need to exhaust that, I don't believe, because it isn't relevant to helping out appellant address appellant's issues. So I don't think it's in the best interest to have to exhaust every single resource we have, but to maybe exhaust those feasible and ones that are likely, have a likely possibility of success. Now, the CRTF Boys Town that was working with appellant indicated a step-down placement would be appropriate. And they're the professionals working with her. I don't have the credentials. I don't know if other people do in the courtroom to override that decision of professionals. I think we should defer to the professionals and end them saying that a group home is more appropriate than going directly home. I think we can infer that they did not think appellant was safe to go home, directly home, and did not feel that community-based services in the home would be sufficient to maintain the juvenile in the home, but they thought there needed to be some sort of interim transition step down to make it be able to, for juvenile to successfully eventually end up in the home.
What were the reasons that the juvenile court gave as to why it picked the group home as opposed to the family home?
One of the main things is that in this case is that since the juvenile was at Boys Town PRTF and actually stepped down to the Boys Town group home, she would be able to have all the same service providers that she had been working with at the Boys Town PRTF. If she were to have to go immediately home, her treatment team would be basically would vanish, and she would have to restart over with new treatment teams, which includes a therapist and possibly a psychiatrist. She would immediately lose all support instead of still having some support with familiar faces, people who know her history and background, to starting over with new professionals. I think that's one of the main things we need to look at as far as in considering best interest, and again, not stating best interest overrides the statutory requirements.
Did the juvenile court address the is it subsection B, with respect to risk to the child or the community?
The juvenile court, in its order, did find that both statutory requirements were met. Juvenile court didn't specifically say why maintaining the juvenile in the home would present that significant risk, although it found it. I think, again, we infer from the Boys Town PRTF professional recommendation that going immediately home, she would not be able to, she would not be safe in that home. Get ready to transition.
What behaviors made that unwise?
To be
in the family home.
Well, appellant initially in the family home was making statements suicidal in nature, went to Boys Town PRTF, did have some struggles there. At one point, she couldn't be transported to a court hearing because she was struggling. So she still had things to work on, essentially. She had completed Boys Town PRTF, but she was still having some behaviors, and the treating provider thought that some structure and security and working with the same providers would be more safe than having her go directly home. Again, I think a lot of that is inferred. Otherwise, they would have made the recommendation, successfully complete PRTF, and would recommend home if they thought that was feasible. Again, I think we have to focus on feasibility and reasonable possibility of success for these services. And I think we have to acknowledge that this is a very unique case with juvenile having severe behaviors and mental health needs, that she had to immediately go to a PRTF to get the treatment that she needed, which I don't believe is what the legislature was thinking, because it's not necessarily the natural progression of majority of our cases.
But there's no challenge to that initial order.
Correct, because it was a conditional release placing the juvenile at the PRTF, which the juvenile did not resist, And because
So she and the family agreed to the conditional release?
I don't know that she was happy about it, but in the record, I do recollect that she did not resist that. And the appealable order is the final dispositional order, which would be the group home out of
place. Thank you.
If there are no further questions, I would respectfully ask that this court affirm the lower court's order.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
1 minute and 5 seconds.
1 minute and 5 seconds, Mr. Sieben.
Your Honor, I would like to address 2 points that the appellee made. The first was the appellee discussed that one of the reasons the court should affirm was based on the fact that there wasn't a reasonable possibility of success when returning to the community because there wasn't adequate structure. The legislative intent surrounding 251.01.7 states clearly that the legislator believed that the best possibility of success is in the home. So I would...
Even if the mother doesn't want her back in the home and is concerned about her safety, are we supposed to override those determinations?
The concerns about the safety are warranted, but probation is now in place. Prior to the detention and the PRTF and the group home, probation services won't be in place. You'll have court orders. You'll have a probation officer who's able to implement consequences. You'll have services that can be put in place, ankle monitors, and the individual and family therapy that I was discussing. I'm out of time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next case of the day is City of Sydney Energy Agency.